agenda is subject to change without notice. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I'm going to turn this over to Chief Matt Duros for a presentation.
Is it blue?
Good evening. Thank you for allowing us to do this presentation here. You know, our folks do things day in and day out that we should recognize them for every day, but we're not good at that. When they do get recognized, like tonight's recognition is really from the Maine Medical Center, we want to take advantage of the opportunity and make sure that our people know that they're recognized and on a bigger level than just at a department meeting. I think this is appropriate. So from here, I'm going to turn it over to Chief Harris, who's got a little bit of a, he's going to mainly do the presentation.
So as the Deputy Fire Chief, I get to do whatever the Fire Chief tells me. So obviously he wants me to talk in front of all of you tonight. So again, we're here to recognize the good work of some of our first responders on September 22nd. And I'd like to set the stage for that night for you guys. And just so the whole community knows, because we don't do a good job getting our message out there, that we aim to have two people at the fire station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trained firefighter EMTs. And we also benefit from having two college live-in students who are attending Southern Maine Community College who are studying to be firefighters or paramedics living at our fire station. And then the chief works normal business hours, usually Monday through Friday, and then comes up for calls in the middle of the night sometimes. At 5 p.m. on Wednesday, September 22nd, our ambulance was requested to respond to Saco to assist with a building fire. Saco and Biddeford's ambulance was busy, or one of their ambulances was busy, so our ambulance is next on the run cards for that. And so our ambulance responded with two people, one of the folks on duty, as well as a live-in student, and the fire chief. So we sent three people to Saco for the building fire. At 5:13, Saco confirmed that they had a building fire, and they requested a fire engine from Goodman's Mills to cover the city of Saco. So three of us, including myself, the other person who was on duty, and actually Captain Tarbell here, we went to Saco to fill in and cover their fire station in case they had any incidences in Saco. At 5:39, so about 20 minutes after we were called, the fire was under control and our ambulance returned to Goodman's Mills and our engine stayed and covered Saco. Again, that's six people from Goodman's Mills who were out of town for a little while. Our engine stayed in Saco because Saco was still at the fire and they're picking up and whatnot. At 6:24, we had a call for a motor vehicle crash with serious injuries right up the street on Goodman's Mills Road at Desert Brook Drive. Lieutenant Moses was working and he recognized the seriousness of the incident based on what the dispatcher had told him. He immediately requested an additional ambulance with a paramedic from Arundel, so we invited our colleagues from Arundel here tonight because they're as much as part of our team as we are. And so Arundel responded and our ambulance arrived on scene at 6:26, just 2 minutes after being called because of our staffing levels. That 2 minutes probably saved a life. That staffing is the reason why a family is celebrating Christmas with their adult child this year. I had the opportunity to visit with the family on Saturday for a few minutes while they were putting up their decorations. And the patient was there, wheeling around in his house, and in very good spirits. So our fire engine was still in Saco, and when we heard the call, it was pretty serious. And because Saco was on their way back, they allowed us to respond to our own call, and our fire engine arrived on scene at 6:40, just 14 minutes after the original call, which prior to our current staffing levels, that used to be how long it took us to get an ambulance to most parts of our community. So leaving Saco with a staffed fire engine was probably about the same amount of time it would take me to get to my house, get in the ambulance, wait for a crew, and get to the scene. So our fire engine arrived just 16 minutes after the original call. However, that was a minute after the ambulance that was staffed in our fire station had already gone to the hospital. So We were coming up this way and the ambulance was going that way. That's how quick it all happened. On top of the crews that we had in Saco and at our fire station, we had four additional call force or volunteer firefighters. So Gunnins Mills had a total of 10 people at the scene that night. And this is just one of those interesting things about how we operate, about people talk about staffing levels and how things are. I think it's important to note that the Arundel ambulance arrived on scene with the Gunnins Mills paramedic, well, with the Arundel paramedic, but she also works in Gunnins Mills. So paramedic Ridley, who used to work full-time in Gunnins Mills and was a call force member in Gunnins Mills at the time. So she's a member of Gunnins Mills, but she was working in Arundel that night. Woody Worthington, at the time, was still a member of the Gunnins Mills Fire Department, but he was working with Arundel that night. Do you still live in Lyman, Woody?
Yep.
So Woody lives in Lyman. Arundel's full-time firefighter, Deputy Chief Reynold Tardif, lives in Lyman. Used to be a lieutenant in Gunnins Mills a while ago. Probably I'm the only one old enough to remember that, but that's okay. And so he also responded because he was on duty. And just shows you like how embedded the Gunnins Mills Fire Department is. Chief Boyer from Arundel is here. He lives in Lyman as well. He was a Gunnins Mills responder before he got busy with Saco and Arundel and whatnot. So it just speaks to how embedded the Gunnins Mills Fire Department is in our area departments. And so, in the best interest of our patient, the patient was transported rapidly, and they went right to Portland, and the patient ended up losing part of his leg. But our crews, well, I'll let Chief Duras read that part. Just the final thing that I'd like to just point out is that entire call, our one ambulance was out of service or committed to that call for 4.5 hours. So, when we talk about volunteers and what's going on, our ambulance, it's hard to get people to volunteer all the time now. So, you never know. So anyhow, just one call can take 4.5 hours, and for those of us that are on the call force, that's a big commitment for anybody, but when we're paying staff, it takes that edge off those of us that have to get up in the morning to go to another job or whatnot. So,
folks we were going to recognize just are outside in the ambulance handling on an emergency that just happened in the lobby.
All right.
So.
That's how it happens.
Proving once again the importance.
That's right.
That's what we do.
I can go take that. No, we can take that and free them up maybe. Stand by. Dramatic pause.
Production. I think we're 5 or 6 weeks into production. The cab has been assembled and is currently being painted. The body's been assembled and should be painted very soon. The updates I get, looks like they're waiting on the fire pump, they're waiting on the frame rails, and once everything gets painted, the frame rails come in, the fire pump comes in, should start coming together really quick. But it's under it's in production. Initial timeline was we'd be lucky to see it before the end of the year. I think that's going to be pushed out a couple months. So I'm predicting February that be delivered.
Do you want to come back to this?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, do you want to do some of the faster things like the AP?
Well, as soon as I'm ready, we'll
come back. Sure. All right. Okay. I'm going to go outside and check.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We're going to move on to hearing of delegations and public input. So anybody that would like to speak to the board, you can have up to 5 minutes to talk on whatever subject you choose.
Are you unmuted there?
He's first.
Now I'm muted. Yeah, now I'm mute.
No, I know. As long as you get
a doesn't matter. Come on, stand up. Tell us who you are.
All right. Very good. I'm Lily Larochelle with my wife, Terry. We own Larochelle Sheds and also QSL Storage here in London. We've lived on the New Road for 15 years? What about, I think around 15, 16 years. So we live on the part of the New Road that is dirt. It stops, goes to New Road Circle, and then it continues to dirt.
Off Kennebunk Pond Road.
Yes, off Kennebunk Pond Road. So what we did is we went to the court and went to the registry, and we went through about 100 cards looking at the roads and the road in Lyman. And we've come to find out that the new road, Davis Road, is the same road actually. Come to find out that it is a county road because it runs between two state roads. Which 35 is a state road, and Kennebunk Pond is a state road. And I've been told by the office here that the road is not a road. So we went and found out that it's a county road, it goes between two state roads, and has never been closed. The only way to close a county road is to have the commissioners to vote on it. That's what I've been told. So it's always been a road. I don't know what the difference is. So I put a wheel on it yesterday, measured from the end of the new road at New Road Circle. It measures 980 feet to the last house, that section. And back in the 80s, when the Lozier's first moved out there, they were the only ones out there. But now there's five houses there at the 980 feet. So I just wanted to know, like New Road Circle, there was four houses and they maintained that. So I just want to know why they won't maintain our section of the road now that there's five houses.
You want to know why the town won't maintain that?
Right. Because it's still a road, it's always been a road, as far as the courts, that your registry is concerned.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
First I know about it. You're talking right where it turns to dirt, right?
Yes, sir.
Right at the end.
Yeah. So right where it turns to dirt, to the last house.
Okay. Where does that come off Kennebunk Pond Road?
Not too far past the access. Not too far past Poor Farm Road on the left-hand side, just before the trailer park.
Okay. Right across the street.
New Road goes straight in, the New Road Circle is on the left.
Right.
Down there.
But that section you're talking about is a dirt road, right?
Yes. It's always been dirt.
So it's not a town road.
All I know is, according to the records of the court, that it's a county
road. It's a county road.
But it's never been closed.
If it's a county road and it has never been maintained, chances are it's not built to a town spec either. So that's something that would have to be looked into.
Right. Yeah. Well, my question also is, the other end of the Davis Road is paved. And maintained. So the two ends are maintained, but this section is not. So that's all my only concern.
I think as long as Davis Road has been used, it's stopped at the end of that last hall where the school bus turns around.
Right.
That's, I think that that's, I've always heard that that was the end of the town road.
So I'm just wondering how New Road Circle gets to be maintained, there's only four houses there.
You're saying Davis Road connects to New Road?
Oh, definitely, I get the map, it's still the Davis Road on paper, it's surveyed to a 50-foot road on.
So I guess I'm confused how it can be Davis Road on one end and New Road on another, if it meets straight through.
Well, somebody decided to put those houses back in the day that they would call it the New Road, but it's always been the Davis Road.
So, before you leave tonight, can you leave your name, your address, your phone number, so that we can get back to you?
Okay.
Are you looking to have the town maintain it?
Oh yeah, there's five houses there now. There was only one back in the 80s, now there's five.
So we can look into it and get back to you with a definite answer.
Okay. Very good.
All right, so make sure you leave that for us tonight.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Okay, does anybody else have any input? All right, then we're going to move on to mail, and there is no mail today. So we'll go on to complaints. So we go to the warrant number 29 for fiscal year 2022 in the amount of $37,235.59. Okay, Rusty.
Hey, Bill, I did have that one email. There was a complaint.
Set. We will. All right. So it's been motion's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on this? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Oh, good. All right, we're going to go on pause here and go back to our presentation.
The agenda may change. Is that what you said at first?
Yes.
Subject could change.
Subject could change without notice.
Very flexible agenda.
All right. So I was really done, Chief. I'll leave it up to you to do the next part.
So apologize for that delay, but everybody's okay. Nothing to it. The letter from Maine Medical Center reads, on behalf of the Maine Medical Center Division of EMS, we would like to extend our appreciation to you for providing exceptional care to our patients. Our mission is to provide outstanding care to the communities that we serve here in Maine and have made it a priority to acknowledge individuals who go above and beyond to fulfill this mission. You have been recognized for your exceptional care and professionalism for a motorcycle accident on September 22nd, 2021. Please accept this certificate of recognition as a symbol of our appreciation. Thank you for continuing to provide exceptional care to the people of our community. Sincerely, the Maine Medical Center Division of EMS. And there's 8 or 10 doctors listed. So, the first one is Arundel Firefighter EMT William Worthy. Lieutenant Jamie Moses. Firefighter paramedic Sandy Ridley. EMT and one of our current college live-in students, Carson Estella.
Thank you guys.
Thank you again.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
make it up.
So we adjourn.
I'm gonna stand.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Before you continue, I should have asked you last meeting because I wasn't really sure. Being on the charter, we're reviewing a lot of papers. And are we resigned because there was supposed to be a vote? I just wanted to make sure because there was no vote, there was no anything. So I'm like, I think we're resigned, but like, I have the charter stuff we're going through and it was one of the documents that I read in the annual. So is that going to happen to, like, officially?
It is official.
Okay.
When did you vote?
During the meeting.
So you did? No, you did not.
No one voted.
I watched the whole meeting after.
We accepted both resignations.
There was no vote.
Was it this one?
No, last meeting.
Yeah, you weren't.
No, because it was supposed to be like presented for a vote, but there was no vote. So that's why I asked her. I'm like, I'm not sure. And I had her watch. And she's like, no, there's nothing. Just making sure.
We'll double check. Okay. All right. So we are on, we finished payable warrant number 29. Okay, so we're into the unfinished business on moving the items into storage. Do we have any update on that as to where we are with everything? We're still at the same place, I believe. We're waiting for the moving company to come move the rest of the files. Is that it?
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't in charge of the safe.
No, we've got that scheduled. Okay. That's going on the 9th. That's going to, well, we hope it's going on the 9th. As long as they can move it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have the issue of the ARPA committee. Is there any solutions, ideas, what you guys would like to do with that to set up a committee to overlook the federal funds that are state funds that have no restrictions, that have 150 pages of restrictions?
That's so true.
Well, the first one came through one page, one line.
I know.
The next one came in at 150 pages.
Believe me, I know.
Well, we talked about having a committee to, you know, see what the requests are to use the funds for, and then where to go with that. But I mean, even if we form a committee, it's going to take probably 3-4 weeks to put together. So I'm open to ideas, what you guys want to do.
Could we do a committee that also deals with Connect Maine? Because said there are portions in ARPA that deal with the same stuff that Connect Maine is trying to deal with. So if we can make that a 2-for-1, that'd be a great idea.
Is that something you can make yourself available for?
Oh.
Well, I was going to suggest that too. Since you're a nice, well-versed person, and make the money.
No, not it. Okay. Yes, I will do that.
Okay, so I guess the question is, are we going to want to use staff for that committee, or do we want to use public, or a combination of?
Oh, welcome all. We have staff available, it would be helpful to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My thought. Somebody requests it, we'll follow them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, I think what the real goal is to make sure we pick the things that are going to affect the majority of the people for the town. And have it be as fair as possible. Mm-hmm. So I do know that, we've got some different requests already, but mm-hmm. and we need to deal with it mm-hmm. in fairly short order. Mm-hmm. So to do a committee assignment is not going to be next week you're ready to go. It's going to take 3-4 weeks to process.
process through. Matt, do you know how Dayton, how they approach theirs? Is it just through their board?
It was just through their select board.
Okay.
At least in terms of what they're doing towards the fire department.
Yeah.
The rest of the other part of their money that's not towards the fire department, I don't know what they're doing or how they approach it.
Is that something you could find out? Because you'd be a great liaison to.
Yes, sir.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, to my understanding is they haven't earmarked any other money other than to the fire department. But, right.
Yeah, that'd be very helpful. Are you thinking that any of this going to be able to go for roads or repair in any way?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Transfer station?
No.
Nothing at the transfer station?
So this is the way that it's been described to me, and this is how I describe it to people who are asking what we can use it for. We have those four core things. The target demographic are those who would apply for and receive free and reduced meals. I don't know if you know what that means. That's your target demographic, and it has to be COVID related. Like some deficiency that we found during COVID that we can now fix. That was the easiest explanation that was given to me that made sense. So roads, fixing roads, didn't have anything to do with that demographic or COVID. So we can just kind of say that's probably not going to fly. You know, those kind of things.
Can you tell us what the four core things were again? Do you remember those?
Off the top of my Steve. I might even have it here. So the first one was premium pay. The other one is to respond to public health emergency or its negative impacts, including assistance to households, small businesses, nonprofits, or aid to impacted industries such as tourism, travel, and hospitality. I didn't really see a whole lot here, but you guys might think of something. To respond to workers performing essential work during COVID-19, public health, that's the premium pay that we've talked about. For the provision of government services to the extent of the reduction in revenue. We didn't have any of that. We had no reduction in revenue. To make necessary investments in water, sewer, or broadband. Because those were the, if you think about sleeper communities.
Well, what about the taxes we lost due to care to not being able to get into places due to COVID?
Huh?
We lost some revenue, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What's wrong with that loss of revenue?
We didn't lose any revenue.
Didn't we get a couple of weeks we didn't take any charge or anything at the transfer station?
We didn't have
so that was all lost revenue.
On any additions.
On any new construction.
Certain things for a year or so.
We can ask. Yeah, see, sorry. That's something we can put down and we can
ask. Well, that was due to COVID, though. Well,
we're in the middle of a revamp, so I don't know. But that's, you know, I mean, that's a great idea. So let's put those down. Let's find out if we can use them. I have a liaison at MMA who's like the ARPA guru. So we can always call and ask him, and he can contact his people and find out.
How about because we didn't charge anybody up at the transfer station for weeks.
Yeah, it was a full month, maybe six weeks.
It was a long time, so that's a definite loss of revenue.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole formula that goes with that, but that's definitely, see, this is why a committee is a great idea, because you come up with all these different angles.
Yeah, I think Brad probably would.
Brad's going to join us? Awesome.
Is there any interest in public water? Because you've got public water all the way up to George Roberts. And a little beyond. Coming off the Alfred Road.
What do you mean to tap into
Route 111 corridor. I don't know.
Thank you.
Because that's where we're saying for them.
Would they allow it?
Yeah, well, you negotiate with them, but it's not all the time water districts work together like that, especially mm-hmm. if they don't have. The only reason I know, my wife worked for him for a dozen years. The only reason I know anything about it.
I believe they're using ARPA funds in either Sanford or Alfred to tie in the Sanford Sewage District to the county jail.
Yeah, there you go. So that would. I just don't know. I mean, you're obviously looking for bang for your buck here.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm less hesitant, because, I mean, 30 years from now, sure, you sure as hell want town water running up 111, because that's where you're starting. Right now, I don't know, but it's, I don't know.
This is why I recommend a committee.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that would benefit the town. Benefit the town long term, and there's so many more ideas out there. This is why I'm saying that it would benefit to us to put together a committee for both ARPA and Clinch Main.
The state does have GIS maps so that indicate water sources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're talking, what, 470,000 roughly, yeah, over 2 years.
Right, but a lot of money. Yeah, but it's crazy money put in that type of water line. The other thing you could do, you could run some hydrants. That might be the big one. That might be the good reason. If you could work with Alfred Water District to do the public water, is because you could get some hydrants there on 111. So I don't know.
So these are all good reasons,
yeah,
and great input. So
yeah, stuff like that, right down your alley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And now you've got some projections on some of your accounts that would save us some incredible money in the future, right? On some of your capital accounts. Have I got that wrong?
Yeah, no, you are correct. What the fire commission has discussed on doing with some of the ARPA money, hopefully, is purchasing some equipment that the fire department is going to need to purchase over the next 5 to 6 years. And by purchasing it now, we would virtually flatline one of the capital lines that we currently have projected to increase more than 100% of what it's being funded at. Not our budget, one of the capital lines is going to increase more than 100% of what's being allocated today. And by making a purchase out of this fund, we keep that budget with no increase projected out more than 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Isn't there a time frame coming up on that though, Matt? You have to do that? Ultimately, to make the purchase?
January 1st, there'll be a price increase. So the quotes I have today are no good after January 1st. Now, is there a time frame? Yes, but I say no, but
it's a savings though.
Which is why Dayton voted to do it now,
right,
and waiting on word from there.
It's kind of a no-brainer.
So
look at that, is the committee.
So five. You've got five?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 2.
On 2? Oh, thanks.
Shit.
Okay. All right. So we need to be going on that and do something. At least some preliminary work before it goes too far. All right.
Whatever you guys want. Let
Don
know. Whatever works.
Whenever you're available, Matt.
rides for you all the time.
When did you become our spokesperson?
Wow.
Sometimes he challenges us.
He's a comedian part-time, though.
And he's working on his routine.
Yeah.
We have a committee application from Steve Marola for the planning board or wherever help is needed. And I was going to suggest that we forward the application to the planning board for review and interview, and set up a meeting with the hiring committee to do an interview there, and then we can proceed with it later on when that all comes back. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody make a motion on that to do that?
So moved.
Second. Okay. All those in favor? 5-0. All right, good. So we'll get that forwarded right away. Update on Trio Web.
Trio Web. So, Trio Web was originally. See, you need to move on my papers. Trio Web was originally signed in 2018 on the agreement to purchase it. And I'm happy to say we now have it installed. We have it up and running. We had a few glitches. It was 2018 when it was originally locked into. It's up and running. We had a few glitches. We went live last Wednesday. We had trouble printing, so we were off and on for about a day and a half. Seems to be working great now. One of our computers at the front desk is so old it can't handle it, so we're in the process of getting a new one. We've got it on order, should be here real soon, and then we can get that second window open and we can start working there. We want to thank all the residents for their patience. They were great when they were coming in here and we kept running into problems, so we thank you very much for that. And that's where we're at with that.
Was that part of the computer budget?
The upgrade was, yes. The hiccups, no.
The upgrade, it was originally signed for October or January. I have it here.
Well, I mean, was that computer going to be replaced anyway?
Oh, that computer? Eventually, but it's that old.
It was not at this point in time, and it wasn't until the software was put in place that we realized it had problems.
So we're
working on that.
It's coming from the equipment line right now.
Yeah.
The general equipment line.
We also had a recycler we had to replace, had to upgrade, because it would no longer work with that software. We didn't know that.
But there are enough funds in there.
There are funds to cover, yes.
We had checked beforehand to make sure that could take it, and the thought was that it could, but it turned out that it couldn't.
I don't think we have any department or committee reports at this point.
Well, I have a big shout out to the Parks and Rec for their Christmas tree lighting. That kind of worked out really well. You guys did a great job.
Yeah, I saw a lot on Goodwin on the side of that. A lot of positive.
It was really nice. The kids loved it.
Awesome.
I have something, Bill.
Go ahead, Brad.
I'm in the process of working with DOT on the intersection of Hamilton Road and South Waterboro Road, because there was a pretty nasty accident there a few Fridays ago. There's been numerous accidents on that intersection. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it's a really hard right-hand, actually almost a reverse curve. so I'm working with Travis to see if we can get that whole entire intersection widened, as well as a double arrow system like we have at the end of Hill Road, so people that are coming up to the stop sign actually see that arrow that the road ends, because that was a complaint we had on Hill Road, that they didn't know that the road ended, even though there's four stop signs up there. So I'm in the process of trying to do that and get that done. They started paving the end of Deer Hill Road, that bad corner up here, and hopefully get that done tomorrow, and then do the end of Clark's Woods Road that runs on to South Waterboro Road, where it's that severe dip. That's all milled out, so hopefully that'll be paved tomorrow.
That was my driveway for the longest time, then Hamilton Road. Car after car after car would be in that ditch. All the time.
Yeah. It's a nasty corner up there, so working on that. And that's it.
I have a question on the flashing signs for the Kennebunk Pond Road, the crosswalk. Do you know where we stand with that?
No idea. I wasn't involved in that. It's been in your lap.
Thanks.
Another one. Based on, from what I hear from Travis, the state cannot get flashing signs because of the solar problem. So I suspect that we're on the low end of the totem pole. And the fact that we own them anyway. So if we want to put in an insurance claim for one, but right now there's a regular stop sign up there and a new road sign.
I thought we had something waiting to be picked up.
For the beach crosswalk.
Oh, you're talking beach crosswalk?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
No.
Travis, I thought they already allocated that, and it's there.
Yeah, the problem, no, it's I think, there. I think the problem with that, Dave, is that same problem is with the solar issue. The panels that run those signs, those crosswalk signs, from what Travis tells me, because this DOT doesn't have any signs either right now. So I guess all you could do is get a hold of your contact and find out.
I can look. I've got the stuff.
Because I assume that because they haven't contacted you, they don't know.
We were supposed to pick those up in July.
I know.
So, all right. Funky Bow Special Amusement Renewal. Matt, did you guys do an inspection there?
Yes, we did. I believe the CEO sent you in a letter, but if you don't see it, then the version I saw was full support of signing his permit. I had no issues up there during the inspection.
Okay. I do have a letter. You want me to read it?
Yes.
You guys want to
hear it? I didn't know.
So, Board of Selectmen referenced Funky Bow safety inspection from Patty. And, yeah. It says the town performed the safety inspection for the special amusement application of Funky Bow at 21 Ledgewood Lane. Attending the inspection was the fire chief, Matt DuRoss, electrical inspector, Marcel DeRosiers, and code enforcement officer, Patty McKenna. There is no imminent life safety issues found at this inspection. There was one minor housekeeping issue. This was some storage of materials in front of the rear exit from the tap room / greenhouse that blocked the exterior access clearance. We were told this was temporary storage of materials, and these items are not there when the business is open. It is our collective recommendation to approve the permit. We do ask that the expiration date of the permit coincide with the annual liquor license, as these two permits are supposed to be renewed at the same time. So I have the application, and we can look up what that liquor license expires and set it to be the same.
So we need a motion.
So moved. We have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Okay. PO approval process. We had a discussion this week about purchase orders under a certain amount that could be approved through the secretary to the Board of Selectmen without having to go to us on each one to get approval. All we need is for a recommendation on what that limit should be.
I just thought of this now. The secretary has to call the treasurer to find out if there's any money in there, right?
Correct. This would be after it would be signed off by Jeanette that it was a budgeted amount, there is money in the budget, and it is correct. At that point, it would go to...
So why wouldn't the treasurer issue it?
There you go.
Yeah,
that's where I was going.
No,
it's perfect. That's what I'm... You're just saying let Jeanette sign off, right?
That's in your wheelhouse. You know if the money's there or not. Or you want more eyes on it?
I think that probably should be a discussion that we have not in public.
We can take that up in a short amount of time.
I mean, I can stay for that.
Because Rusty's about to make a motion.
It is.
All right, I make a motion we go into the executive session, Title 1, NYSA, Section 405-68, personal matters.
Second. All those in favor? 4-0, John is absent. Everybody, thank you.
I'm available most of the time, so whenever you want to.
Thank you, Sean.